And welcome to the Deep Dive Radio Show. As always, I'm your host, Nick Espinoza, and we're going to be talking about all things cybersecurity, cyber warfare, and technology related. And I think we're one of the only ones out there that's doing that right now. If you'd like to be part of the radio show in any way, shape, or form, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Nick AESP. Again, that's Nick AESP. Or you can send us an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. We have an action-packed show as always. There's always a lot to cover, so stick around with us as we deep dive into a topic and we catch up on everything else. So without further ado, let's begin. And we've got a great hour for you this week. We're going to be catching up on a lot of news, some of which is completely shocking. Our breaches of the week is absolutely off the rails, and we're going to be diving into the Capital One breach. But our deep dive of the week is going to be on forced child labor. We have a massive worldwide problem with technology manufacturing and other manufacturing we'll be diving into, and child labor. And I think it's something we need to look at, address, acknowledge, recognize, and correct. So stick around. It's going to be a great hour. And as always, let's start with the news. And in privacy you thought you had because you pay for it, but you don't actually have privacy news, we're going to be talking about the Ring doorbell. And I have to say, like, I don't know if you guys have realized this, but I am on a mission with Ring. I have had some serious issues with everything that we found out about Ring, and we have some new information. And the thrust of this is coming from Georgina Torbett of Engadget, and she is quoting some excellent reporting from Motherboard of by Vice and also GovTech News as well. And I'm going to be quoting from Georgina here because I think she just sums this up so wonderfully. And Georgina, if you're listening, excellent job. And I quote, Amazon's home security division, Ring, is not only working with law enforcement and trying to collect 911 data, it's also reportedly coaching police on how to get people to hand over their surveillance footage without a warrant, and that's according to Motherboard by Vice. Ring's quote-unquote law enforcement neighborhood portal shows police where Ring cameras are located on a map and makes it easy for them to request access to footage from individual Ring units without a warrant, although the owners of the units are not legally obliged to hand over the footage. They say that they may not feel comfortable turning down a request from law enforcement. The emails obtained by Motherboard show Ring coaches the police on the best way to obtain the footage and provides tools like templates police can use when interacting with Ring owners and requesting footage. Ring also encourages police on its neighborhood watch app Neighbors, saying such posting is critical in their increasing the opt-in rate of people willing to share their recordings. Now, here's the thing. This all sounds, you know, relatively good. Let's say we have a neighborhood full of Ring doorbells and a crime has been committed. The police would like to get footage to this. Everything thus far is basically saying, okay, the cops don't need a warrant, but you have to opt in. You can tell the police, no, I own the Ring doorbell. I'm paying for the Ring doorbell. I'm going to say no to this. And so the police won't get my footage. Or maybe I'm going to say, yes, I'm going to let them take my footage. What they want you to do is opt in to basically have that footage taken at will. But here's the thing. And here's the kicker to the whole thing. And I once again quote Georgina here, quote, even if a Ring owner does deny the request for footage, the police can still contact Amazon directly and request the footage through them, as reported by GovTech. If the request comes within 60 days and the footage has been uploaded to the cloud, which it would be because it's a Ring, Ring will hand it over. This essentially means that the police have access to Ring footage whenever they want, even against the wishes of Ring owners. End quote. And so who cares if you opt in or not? Who cares if you deny them or not? The cops will simply go to Ring, aka Amazon, and say, we want access to this footage, and Amazon's going to give it to them. It's always going to be in the cloud. That is how Ring works. You add this to what we found out before months ago, and I did a video on this, where they had whistleblowers go to The Intercept saying that basically, all of our videos are unencrypted. Ring personnel literally knows your doorbell, your name, your videos, can look at them at will. Contractors from other countries outside of the United States, where Ring is primarily based, like Romania, can actually go in and look at this. And executives made the conscious decision not to encrypt this or to keep it secure so it would be easier to sell the company, which they eventually did to Amazon. This is insane. And why anybody would be using a Ring doorbell, given all of this, if you are listening to this and you are using a Ring doorbell, ask yourself, Do you want this level of scrutiny in your life? Are you okay with your privacy being violated in the way that it is here? Because this isn't going to stop and it's only going to get worse. Ring will continue to do this. Amazon will continue to do this. They are ramping this up. They're going to start adding artificial intelligence to that. And they are basically going to allow the government into your doorbell at will. And I think that's a serious, serious concern that we should all have. Now, if you are 100% fine with the government doing that with you and you have no problem with them getting into this as needed, fine. I have no problem. You've made an informed decision. More power to you. More power to you. But understand, if you don't like this, and even if you say, no, I decline, I opt out, they're still going to get access to it because they literally just told you that they would, according to GovTech and Engadget. So this is insane. And I think that everybody should be aware of this, you know, when they are purchasing this, because you can obviously buy other doorbells that are going to be more secure, or you can do it yourself. You don't have to buy Ring. So there you go. That is your, I guess, intrusive privacy news, and I can't remember what I said in the preamble before, of the week. And in insecure news, and we know that there's a lot of apps that, you know, have problems with security, if you will, even though they claim security. I literally did a video a short while ago on WhatsApp, basically Facebook that owns WhatsApp. It's advertised as secure and private and all of this. They're going to be integrating a content filter, which means their artificial intelligence and humans will be able to read WhatsApp messages. So that's no longer secure. We're now talking about Microsoft. And it turns out that Microsoft is probably listening to some of your Skype calls if you're using a tool called Translator. Now, Skype launched Translator in 2015, which basically offers near real-time audio translations during phone and video calls. If you've ever played with it, it is super cool. So like, we can be sitting here speaking in English and talking to somebody over in Germany, for example. And as I'm talking to that person in Germany, Skype is translating my English into just almost near perfect German for that person. And as that person speaks German to me, it automatically translates them into English. It's really, really cool. But a new report from Motherboard by Vice reveals that Microsoft sends some of their Skype recordings to their contractors to review how the translation services are working. Basically, according to a cache of internal documents, screenshots, and audio recordings, according to Vice by Motherboard. So audio conversations include, and I quote, people talking intimately to loved ones, some chatting about personal issues such as their weight loss, and others seemingly discussing relationship problems. Now, while Skype's website says that it, quote unquote, may analyze audio of phone calls that a user wants to translate in order to improve the chat's platform services, it never actually spells out that people are humans, rather, are analyzing these calls as opposed to artificial intelligence. Now, this is not really surprising in the sense of, like, you know, we are living in the data mining era, but it's a little unsettling in the sense that Microsoft has generally been very good with data privacy. I mean, it makes sense that Microsoft would want to double check the work of its artificial intelligence and all of that, but they're doing that at the sacrifice of privacy. Now, Skype has a privacy dashboard where users can view and delete stored audio connected to their Microsoft account, and Skype apparently has visual and audio signals that let user knows when it's collecting audio, but I don't necessarily think I've ever seen that. Apparently, it's like a mysterious light or a microphone that says it's activated. I'm going to have to look for that next time I use Skype, which is not that often, but just heads up, if you're using Skype, just understand if you're using the Translate app, there may be people that are listening in to your conversations and for basically quality control. Same with WhatsApp as well. Do not assume WhatsApp is secure. I'd rather use Signal than WhatsApp. Signal is known secure right now, and it's really the founders of that are basically huge tinfoil hat wearing privacy wonks. So I think Signal right now, as far as I know and as far as the cybersecurity community knows, is much, much more secure. So that's something that we need to consider, but that is your unfortunate data mining news of the week. You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. And in fake news, and by fake news, I mean basically that which we make fake to convince others it's real, Symantec, who I'm sure you guys are familiar with their antivirus and all of that, they're obviously, they have cybersecurity researchers researchers and everything, they say they have seen three successful audio attacks on private companies. In each, a company's CEO, quote unquote, called a senior financial officer to request an urgent money transfer. Now, the scammers were mimicking the CEO's voices with an AI program that had been trained on hours of their speeches and all of their things that had been basically been taken from like earnings calls, YouTube videos, TED Talks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, millions of dollars were stolen from each of these companies and the names are not being revealed. This was reported by the BBC initially, which is where I got this information. And this is actually rather interesting because we have been seeing deepfake video where we're able to put somebody's face and voice and mannerisms onto, let's say, another body and all of that. Some scams have been had. Some have been hysterical. So Jordan Peele basically did an entire deepfake video as former President Barack Obama. We saw Arnold Schwarzenegger's head get moved like wonderfully onto another, like a comedian's head. So there have been some very funny ones, but the scams are very very much out there. And if I'm thinking to myself, you know, here I am sitting on the radio, you know, there is hundreds of hours of, you know, video of my face. I've done TED Talks, you know, I have a YouTube channel, you know, and I post my videos everywhere. Not to mention you're sitting here listening to me. It'd be very easy to basically replicate my voice and then try to call somebody as me, you know, understanding my inflections, my mannerisms, all of that, because I'm literally sitting here talking to you just like I would talk to anybody else. You know, I mean, I don't, you know, turn it on for the radio. This is usually how I'm talking. And so if you were to take this deep fake, that would be a serious problem. And I think a lot of people are going to have this, especially when we're all putting out content on YouTube, you know, and all of that. And so if you've ever, let's say, been interviewed and it's out there, or you've ever, you know, called in maybe to a radio show or something like that, your voice may be out there and it may be able to be mimicked. And now somebody can do something damaging with that. And I think that's a very serious problem. So we're going to see where this goes. But, you know, that is a huge, huge issue. And we are walking into another election in 2020. And I'm probably going to do a deep dive on deep fakes in an election cycle. But it's a serious, serious problem we're going to have. So heads up out there. You might want to create some kind of new methodology for verification of money transfer beyond a verbal voice phone call, which is something I usually recommend my clients do on top of another factor of authentication, such as email or texting or whatever that is. So it's one of those things I think that we need to start enabling and moving forward on. And so that is your fake news of the week. And in Brazil news, and we're apparently going to be doing Brazil news today, for nearly a year, Brazilian users, meaning the general the internet population of Brazil, has been targeted with a new type of router attack that has not been seen anywhere else in the world. Now, this attack is targeting routers in Brazil, and it started last summer. A group of cyber criminals have infected over 100,000 home routers in Brazil and were modifying their DNS settings. DNS is a protocol on the internet that basically resolves you to the website. So in other words, if you go to google.com, it's actually a block of numbers called an IP address. And so if you type in google.com, your DNS settings basically say, oh, Google is this block of numbers, and then takes you there. It's all instance. And by modifying the DNS settings, they are able to redirect infected users to malicious clone websites whenever they were trying to access things. In this case, banking sites for Brazilian banks. Now, in April 2019, a threat intelligence firm basically detailed another wave of attacks aimed against D-Link routers, also hosted by Brazilian internet service providers. And these attacks haven't stopped. And so the first half of 2019, it is basically believed that these attacks have hit another 180,000 Brazilian routers. And so it's just one of the first times where we're seeing specifically hackers target an entire infrastructure of a company. Now, there are a few internet service providers in Brazil. These internet service providers tend to issue basic modems and routers to get people going. Most of the time, the security on these things are absolutely god-awful, which is why they're very easy to target. And so these hackers have basically found a consistent way to say, oh, well, you know, we know that hundreds of thousands of Brazilians are going to be on this specific router from this specific maker. We could be able to target all of these and easily change them over. And that's exactly what they're doing. And I think this is going to speak to larger, more aggressive attacks we're going to have, not just in Brazil, but probably all over the planet, including the United States and Europe and Australia, et cetera, et cetera. Because, you know, for example, in the United States, we have a couple big internet service providers like Comcast, Time Warner, AT&T. We know that if we go to AT&T, they're going to give us the same modem as they're giving millions of other people. Same with Time Warner and Comcast, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And by virtue of that, there'd be a very easy way for hackers to basically carve out a methodology to hit all Comcast routers or all AT&T and on and on. So I think we're going to see this continue to explode. And we've also seen a recent infection called German Wiper that is just literally going after people in Germany in a very similar manner, although it's doing something significantly different than what's happening in Brazil. So this nationwide infrastructure attack against the population is going to continue to expand and increase, and that is a very serious issue. So that is your Brazilian news of the week. And now for breaches of the week. And if you have a data breach to report that's local to you or the major news might have missed it, please, by all means, send it to me, and I'm glad to give you a shout out and include it in the radio show and possibly a daily video. And you can find me on Twitter and Facebook at Nick AESP. Again, that's Nick AESP. Or you can email questions at securityfanatics.com. Again, that's questions at securityfanatics.com. And I'm more than happy to include your data breach and give you a shout out on the air. With that, let's begin. And this week's Breaches of the Week, I mean, it's absolutely crazy. As you guys know, I basically do every Sunday a Breaches of the Week video, and my last week's video was literally 18 minutes long, when they're usually like, you know, 5 or 6 minutes, sometimes, you know, around 10 or so. It has been absolutely nuts out there. So what we're going to do is try to get through the breaches of the week, you know, as quickly as we can for the basic ones. But we're going to be diving into two very significant breaches that happened, including the Capital One data breach, which affected literally over 100 million people in the United States alone. So this is going to be absolutely crazy. And like I said, we're going to crank through these. And before we start, I'm going to thank Chris Fowlon, Jacqueline Wolf, and Don Nuss for sending me information throughout the last couple of weeks. And guys, thank you very much. You make my life easier. And as I mentioned in the preamble here, if you've got a tip, please send it in. And we are going to start with the state of Georgia, specifically their state patrol. Now, what they are basically saying is that about 2 weeks ago or so, on a Friday morning, the Department of Public Safety employee got basically a phishing email. And what ended up happening was the Georgia State Patrol, the Department of Public Safety, let's say the Georgia Capitol Police, the Georgia Motor Carrier Compliance Division, and the Georgia State Patrol basically had some kind of infection in terms of ransomware and hit. So they're not necessarily sure how deep and far, and we are not sure what the scope is of that, but the state of Georgia has been under attack. Moving on, we're going to talk about the LAPD. That's Los Angeles, California. They just suffered a data breach as well that exposed the names, email addresses, passwords, and birth dates for police officers and applicants. We're talking about 2,500 LAPD officers and about 17,500 applicants were exposed during this data breach, which was basically found on July 25th, 2019. So if you have anything to do with the LAPD, heads up. Moving on, we're going to be talking about Poshmark. This is a clothing resale marketplace. Basically, and I quote, "We recently discovered that data from some Poshmark users was acquired by an unauthorized third party." Now, basically, this information includes customers' username, first and last name, gender, city, clothes size preference, email address, password, and on and on and on. And so this data also included social media profile information collected when users connected to social media accounts to Poshmark. You know, a lot of websites you can log into using your Facebook account, et cetera, et cetera. That's what it is. So if you use Poshmark, heads up. Now we're going to be quickly moving to Germany. For the last couple of weeks, a new ransomware has been basically targeting German users within Germany. This is called German Wiper, and it doesn't encrypt your files like a normal ransomware. Usually ransomware will lock your files out and then want you to get money back. It's actually been removing and erasing your data. And so basically, here's a public service announcement. If you have German Wiper, if you're in and around Germany, do not pay the ransom, because even if you do, you're not getting your data back. That's a mess. Heads up, we're going to Sephora. That's a very popular cosmetic place. I believe they're from France. They have an app, like online accounts and apps, and they just discovered a data breach reach on July 31st. Now, customers from Singapore, Indonesia, Malaysia, the Philippines, Thailand, Australia, Hong Kong, and New Zealand had their personal information compromised. Now, according to Safara, credit card numbers were not part of the breach. And so, heads up, I know I've got a lot of listeners in Australia and New Zealand. So, guys, you are affected. Moving on, coming back to the United States, we're talking about Presbyterian Health Services. They just reported a data breach that had basically involved 183,000 patients and health plan members. Now, this was access to names, dates of birth, social security numbers, and other types of information after a Presbyterian employee responded to a phishing email. And basically, here we go. So this primarily affects... This primarily affects victims that are in New Mexico, and I do believe I've got a couple radio stations in New Mexico, so guys, if you have anything to do with Presbyterian Health Services, heads up. Moving on, we're going to head to Puerto Rico. Now, two hospitals in Puerto Rico have just been hit with ransomware, affecting about 520,000 patients' data. These are the Bayamón Medical Center for about 423,000 patients, and also the Puerto Rico Women and Children's Hospital for about 100,000 patients. So if you're in Puerto Rico, please make sure that you are secure, and obviously, hopefully, you guys have fully recovered from that hurricane, because I know that was a mess. Moving on, we're going to be talking about StockX. Now, this is a fashion and sneaker trading platform. They just pushed out a password reset email to their users about 2 weeks ago or so, citing system updates. And they kind of left everybody confused, like, what on earth is going on here? So StockX told their users that the email was actually legit, that you should change your password, it's not phishing. But they didn't say what caused this system update or why there was no prior warning. This just came out of the blue, but that really wasn't the whole truth. And so an unnamed data breach seller contacted TechCrunch, claiming more than 6.8 million records were stolen from StockX in May. And basically, this seller was able to prove records from there. So StockX looks like it had a hit. And if you are part of StockX, heads up, your data is probably exposed. They're not telling you that. If you still want to use this platform, make sure you're changing your password. Moving on, we're talking about Cafe Press. Now, this is a custom t-shirt and merchandise company. I guarantee you I've probably bought at least one t-shirt and coffee mug in my life off of some vendor on Cafe Press. Now, according to various reports, this breach compromised more than 23 million accounts that happened on February 20th, and it just recently came to light, and we don't know much at this stage beyond that. So if you use Cafe Press and have an account there, heads up, change your password. We're heading down to Naples, Florida now. Now, they had an attack on the city that resulted in the loss of $700,000 due to a sophisticated spear phishing campaign. Now, the city manager said, and I quote, "This attack was not malware or ransomware, and no data breach occurred. The city has and will continue to make improvements in our information technology systems." Guys, what you need to do is train your employees on awareness, run them through simulated phishing. And if anybody in Naples in the government is listening to this, I'm more than happy to help you with that. Moving on, we're going to be talking about an app called ThreeFun. Now, this is an adult-themed dating app, meaning for adult things, and given that the name is ThreeFun, I'll let you do the math on that. They basically have 1.5 million users from top cities such as, and I quote, New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Houston, Phoenix, San Antonio, San Diego, Philadelphia, Dallas, San Jose, San Francisco, Las Vegas, and Washington, D.C. Now, their app has been running just insanely insecure, and researchers were able to expose data for all of their users. And this is the data that they were able to expose: real-time location of any user at work, at home, on the move, wherever, dates of birth, sexual preferences, chat data, private pictures, even if the privacy is set. So you could have, let's say, full privacy, and hackers would still be able to get into your pictures. Obviously, that's very, very damaging for a company that should be really, really focusing on privacy given what they're selling. So if you use ThreeFun, heads up to you. Moving on, we're heading to Maplewood, New Jersey. Now, the police department in the township of Maplewood is providing a notice of suspicious activity that was discovered and basically hopefully fixed from the police department network. Now, this malware, basically they weren't sure if any information was accessed, but they are giving a notice basically to the city that potentially impacted individuals could have had their full name, first name, last initial, last name, social security number, driver's license, state ID, account number, credit card, debit card number, in a combination with the security code, date, access code, all of that, a password that would permit access to an individual's financial account, in the city of Maplewood. And to date, the investigation has not revealed evidence suggesting the information was reviewed or viewed, by a third party, but that is virtually impossible to detect unless you've got really good monitoring systems in place. So if you have anything to do with Maplewood, New Jersey, heads up. Moving on, we're heading to the Great White North, and we're going to Quebec. Now, Revenue Quebec, which is basically the IRS of Quebec, if you will, they basically had a breach that affected 23,000 current and former employees, and this is according to the police. Now, an investigation was launched on July 25th. After the leak was discovered by Revenue Quebec, two people have now been arrested in connection with this massive leak of personal information at Quebec's revenue agency. So the Sûreté du Québec, and I'm sorry, I do not speak French. I apologize to any French people that I just butchered your language. They say, and I'm not sure, I'm guessing that's the investigative body. They are saying that officers arrested a 39-year-old woman and a 46-year-old man from Quebec City this past Wednesday morning. So about a week ago, since you're probably hearing this, they are expected to meet with investigators. Moving on, we're heading down to Australia, and we're talking about an organization called Neo Clinical. They exposed approximately 37,000 people's contact information and their responses to personal medical questions, qualifying them for clinical trials, which included information about diagnosis, illicit drug use, and treatment. I don't have more information on that, but heads up, if you're in Australia and you are using Neo Clinical in some way, shape, or form, heads up to you. Back in the USA, we're talking about State Farm Insurance. They just had a compromise due to credential surfing attacks, according to a news report. Now, they acknowledged the cyber attack, filing a data breach notification with the California Attorney General, and by sending out a notice of data breach emails to users whose online accounts and login credentials were obtained by hackers. The insurer's data breach notification email said State Farm recently detected, and I quote, State Farm recently detected an information security incident in which a bad actor used a list of user IDs and passwords obtained from some other source, like the dark web, to attempt to access State Farm online accounts. During our investigation, we determined that the bad actor possessed the user ID and password for your State Farm online account. So if you have anything to do with State Farm, even outside the state of California, I'd probably go in and change your username and password. California has some really good laws when it comes to having to declare breaches. Not all states have that. And so State Farm may be in the process of remediating the breach in your state. So go change your password now. And stay tuned to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show as we take a quick break for a public service announcement. We'll be back right after that.